Welcome to The Big Day, the ultimate life coaching resource for all eight areas of your life. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Good morning, DFW Metroplex. Good morning, America. We're speaking live this morning from the beautiful KLIF Studios in Victory Plaza. My name is Robert Whipple, and I am an entrepreneur, and I have the privilege of working with Southern Painting, one of the most successful painting companies in America. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, The Big Day, and I am your host of our radio show, The Big Day, and our platform is to discuss life-changing topics. Do we have one for you today? You got to get your pencil, pen out, take notes. Class is going to be in session. It's going to be absolutely so good. And my wife, my co-host, my second best friend for over 45 years, Ms. Whipple, Nurse Nancy, Cool Whip, good morning to you.
What an introduction. Thank you. Good
so, morning. I am so thankful for everything that you do to make us all better. And I don't get to say that very often. I don't want to get all mushy, but thanks for being here, and thank you for everything that you impart into us. You have great and mighty wisdom.
Thank you.
And so my guest today is a very special guest, is also a good friend of mine, a business partner. That's Jason Ward. And he is the owner of two very successful Southern Painting territories in Northwest and Southwest Fort Worth. Welcome, Mr. Ward.
Good morning, and thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on today. And before we even get started, I have to say good morning to my mother.
Oh, okay. What is her name?
Her name is Beth, and she's listening from Atlanta, Georgia this morning.
That's not what you said earlier. You said she was good-looking, sharp, and powerful.
I did, but it's my mom.
So. Okay, good.
Yes, and she's been listening to KLIF since she was a teenager in Dallas, so she was excited that we got to be on this morning.
That's cool. Well, so let's take a minute and talk. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. You're married. Your wife's name is?
My wife's name is Robin, and I have a son, and he's 12 years old. His name is Elijah, and they're one of my greatest business partners and really the key to my success in business.
And you also are praise and worship, one of the praise and worship leaders in your church.
We are servants of our church, and the music ministry is very important to us as a family, and it's something that we really enjoy and get a lot of energy from.
So, and let's talk about your business background. You run two franchises, Southern Painting. I know that I know what you paint, but I'm just asking this question because I think it's a good question. So what do you paint?
Certainly, we specialize in residential repainting and light commercial. We paint things that have been painted before, and what we really think of it as is we're a customer service business, and we do great painting, but what we really try to do is give a really good customer experience.
And about your company, talk to us about your company. What do you?
Our franchises cover the majority of Fort Worth area. We basically everything west of 35. Now, Southern Painting itself, we paint in most of the major areas of Texas. My franchise in specific is the Fort Worth market.
And Southern Painting has been in business for how long?
Since 1989.
Okay. And how many homes have we painted?
Last count, we should be around 120,000 homes at this point.
So if you put that into kind of like a monthly total, somewhere between 300 to 500 homes every 30 days, Southern Painting paints.
Yes.
And the thing I like about the Southern Painting aspect is, Nancy, is that it's not done by mass painting. It's done one home at a time. Mm-hmm. The majority of our paintings are in residential, but we do paint a lot of small commercial. And but the big thing is we get to work with people, helping them. And so enough about Southern Painting. Let's get right into what we want to talk about. I do have to say this. I do have some housekeeping. So I want to take care of something that I am so convinced of. And it's going to sound like a little bit of an infomercial, but I am convinced that the book, The Big Day, and I'm the author, is one, in my opinion, it's one of the best-selling books ever. It went on Amazon within a few days. It became a bestseller. I think it went from like number 12,000 to number 78. And it's more than just a book that you read. And it's something that you study. It's something that can change you. And can change you in several areas, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And if you want to get information about The Big Day, you can go to our website, www.readyforthebigday.com, or you can just go on Amazon, pull up Robert Whipple, The Big Day. You can get electronic version. You can get print version. I think it's the best $12 you could ever spend. So I think that's important. So let's talk a minute, and let's get into our topic. And I want to talk about relevant forces, Jason Ward, Cool Whip. I want to talk about the relevant forces, and I'm based on my experience, I see that there are really two relevant forces. First is the natural, and the natural works into your decisions. That's what you're doing as an individual. It comes into all natural things. And then you have the spiritual. The spiritual forces are not just meant, Jason, for Sunday. They're meant for Monday through Saturday. And this is really powerful, because when you start taking the natural and the spiritual and you start putting those two together, great things can start happening. And see, what you're doing is you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in the strength of the spiritual and the natural. You can't discount the natural, but you definitely do not want to discount the spiritual. I've done it without the spiritual, and it's very shallow. So that's what we're talking about. And what I'm going to do this morning is introduce our listeners to what we call the 11 cornerstones. And these 11 cornerstones really are in nature. They're natural. And I want you just to kind of put this in your mind's eye. Picture this morning as you're sitting there. The first five cornerstones are going to represent your vehicle. That's 1 through 5. That's the vehicle you drive. Cornerstone 6 through 11 is going to be the fuel that you put in your vehicle. Now, here's the good news. You can pretty much pick any vehicle you want to drive. And I like in life like we're going to take a trip. We're all in a vehicle today. If we're going to California today, Jason, if we're going to California today, Ms. Whipple, Dan, and good morning, Dan, behind the glass. So much appreciate you being here. And if we're going to take that trip, Dan, and we're going to have a trip today we're going to take, just set this down and get this in your thinking. And we're taking this trip, you're picking the vehicle. And let's say we're going to California. So how can you go to California? You can walk. You can take a covered wagon. Not too many years ago, couple of 150 years ago, people went to California in covered wagons. A lot of them didn't make it. You can take a bicycle. You can take a Goldwing, a Harley. You can take a car. You can take a broken down car. Your vehicle that you're traveling in, your life, that represents cornerstone 1 through 5. So that gets us right into cornerstone number 1. And that's the first cornerstone we're going to talk about. Now, whether or not you say, well, I don't know if I'm really in agreement with cornerstone 1 through 5. I don't know if that's really what I am prescribing to. I'm going to say to you, to be in your face a little bit, actually a whole lot, Nance, is that you're living those cornerstones 1 through 5, your vehicle, whether or not you believe in them or not. So here comes the question. If you say to me, Jason, you ask Mr. Whipple, and you're asking this question, what is the most important, if you had to describe success in the most important word, if you had to say, how would you describe success? And I've been on the mountaintop, and I've been in the valley. I've seen it. I've seen different businesses. I'm involved with multiple businesses today. Involved with multiple business owners, churches, nonprofit, FCA, whatever, book. If I had to describe success in one word, and that's what I want, success. I don't want average. I don't want below average. If I had to describe success in one word, Jason, I'm going to bring it down to this one word. It comes down to this is cornerstone number 1, Dan, your alignments. What are you aligning yourself with? So, Jason, that's the ultimate. What are you aligning yourself with today? Nancy, what are you aligning yourself with? And that could be anything from people, television shows, your church, Wisdom of God, this radio, whatever you align yourself with.
What radio station you're listening to.
Yeah, that's KLIF. Good. I mean, what are you listening to this morning? What do you think, Jason? Alignment? You like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk to me a minute about your alignment. Let's spend a minute and let's work on that alignment area. How are alignments, how do they change who you are as a business owner, father, entrepreneur? How do they change who you are?
Well, I think that in the things and the people that you're aligned with, you're hitching yourself to those personalities. You're hitching yourself to the success of others, and you really do make a choice in deciding how you're going to connect yourself. And I think in a lifetime, we tend to surround ourselves with people that are either good for our direction or bad for our direction or neutral to our direction. And you make a choice every day that says, where am I going to spend my time? Who am I going to spend that time with? What am I going to read? And all of those things are going to steer you in a direction. So when you align yourself, you really need to know where it is you're trying to go and connect to the ones that are going to get you where it is you want to be. And that can be business or personal.
And that's really going to ultimately describe where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
You want to end up in all the wrong places? Have poor alignments. That starts also with your thinking. I'm convinced, and I say this, I can, in less than about 5 minutes, I can tell who that person is by the words that they align themselves with. Are they aligning themselves with great words? Well, I'm just saying what I believe. Well, don't just say that. Remember, your belief is simply what you've been trained to believe. And I always say this, what are you expecting today? Your alignment of what you're expecting today, Nancy, is going to come into your life like maybe not today, but over a period of time, what you're thinking, what you're expecting, how you see yourself, the words that you're speaking out of your mouth, that's what you're going to align yourself with. That's it right there. So change that alignment. If you don't like what you have, well, I'm retired. That's what you've aligned yourself with. Change that. Well, I want to be retired. No, you don't, because your life has got a great calling. Everyone that I'm listening to, everyone that's listening to my voice this morning, I don't care who you are. I don't care what position you have. I don't care if you're the president, the janitor, the A to the Z. Makes no difference. God has got a great calling for your life. That comes down to your alignments. So cornerstone number one is your alignments. You want to go to work on those alignments, and you want to premeditate those, Jason. It's something you want to choose to do every day, every single day. You want to get up and start choosing your alignments. I heard this last night, and I thought it was awesome. The first thing you should do when you get up, instead of start asking, you need to start thanking God, thanking, being grateful for what you have. That's an incredible alignment. It alters your whole attitude. It alters who you are. It begins to change the inside. And I'm convinced, again, 100% of the time, you don't go to work on the outside, Dan. You go to work on the inside. So I would say number one is your alignment. Let's go to cornerstone number two. I think this is really good. Oh my gosh, we're out of time for this segment. We have to take a quick commercial break. And we'll be right back, and then we'll get into alignment number two. And we have got so much good information to cover with you. Stay tuned. Hello, this is Robert Whipple, and I wanted to introduce you to a book I have just published, which became a bestseller on Amazon shortly after it was released. The title of the book, The Big Day. Being an avid reader, I truly believe there's not another book in the marketplace like it. Absolutely nowhere. What simply separates The Big Day is that it combines the science of winning big in your life with the application of the spiritual principles that are available for each of us. It's a step-by-step guide for creating a culture of leaders who are successful physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am convinced that this book can be a game changer in your life, no matter who you are or where you are. Simply go on Amazon and search The Big Day by Robert Whipple. I am convinced it will be one of the greatest investments you ever made in your future.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman to save money.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Day.
Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Well, it's a beautiful Saturday morning. We're talking about the 11 cornerstones. If you want to get a copy of those, go to our website, www.readyforthebigday.com. A lot of other good information on that website. And we want to get into the second cornerstone, Mr. Ward and Cool Whip. And that is simply your plan. I'm going to add one word to that. I'm going to call it your written plan. You got to have a written plan. And the plan says everything about you, who you are, what you are. It becomes very obvious to your team, your customers, everyone around you when you're operating without a plan. And so we talked about planning last week, Mr. Ward. Let's get into that. So let's talk about the planning aspect. Cornerstone number one, your alignment. Two is your plan. How important is it to have a written plan based on what you've seen and what you've experienced?
Well, one of the analogies that I use a lot, and I do this when I train my team as well, is that, you know, we in today's modern vehicles, we have a really great navigation system, and you can use that several different ways. First one is you can stare at the screen and it can show you kind of where you are. So you can look at it as an overview and you can see the streets around you and you kind of know where you're going. But that just kind of is where you are. And the other way you can use it is you can program it and you can type in where you want to go. And then you let your navigation system drive itself and it's going to tell you how to avoid the obstacles. And it's going to show you the best route to get somewhere and the fastest way to get there. So you could use that navigation system and you can just stare at it and kind of be where you are, or you can get somewhere much more effectively with much greater results in a much faster amount of time. So I try to train my team that as well in business, that if we have a written plan and we know exactly where we want to go and we let that plan drive us there, we're much likely to be successful.
Oh my gosh, you actually have a written plan.
Absolutely.
I bet you have a written checklist when you go in and talk with customers.
It's my GPS.
Yeah. In other words, when things are in writing, I know, Nancy, you're a nurse, and you had to have written orders.
Yes.
That's paramount.
Yes, we did. Yes.
I mean, you don't want the doctor to say, well, just...
Just in case.
No, I like this. Just whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
Okay, sirrah, sirrah, let it be, let it be. No, you had a plan. When you went in there and took care of your patients, you had a plan. You had a plan when you went to India. You had a plan. You were the triage nurse. You had to have a plan. I think a written plan is paramount. Now, I like what Mr. Ward was talking about, Nancy, when he talked about the navigational system. You got to put it in there. You got to put it into the plan. Now, guess what? There are going to be days that your plan doesn't come out exactly like you thought it was going to come out. Your navigational system, when you miss that turn, doesn't go, you dummy, you loser, you're no good.
It does say U-turn, make a U-turn.
That's what it says. But it says recalculating route, recalculating route. This is recalculating it. But it doesn't sit there and call you a bunch of names. So in your plan, there are going to be days that things don't go according exactly the way you have it written.
Well, we used to use MapsGo. And then you'd have to look up. And what I would do is look up where I'm going and write it all out longhand. Mm-hmm. And then I would drive that way. You know, it wasn't the safest. But I make it really big. So, yeah, and sometimes the plan was you wrote it out, but when you got there, there wasn't the streets there that you thought. You know, we were using mm-hmm. MapsGo like that.
So four types of planning, real mm-hmm. quick. Appointments. This is four types. You could call it mapping your plan. Appointments. These are designated appointments for not one area of your life, for all eight areas. You mean there are eight areas of your life? Absolutely. Go to work on all eight areas of your life in your alignments and your plan, a written plan. Your to-do list. Your goals, which bridges the gap to the law of expectancy. And your checklist. That's a checklist that you take. The two most negative time zones to live in, Mr. Ward, the past and the future. That's why today is your big day. Today, the day of this day is the ultimate preparation for your tomorrow. So number one, your alignments. Number two, your plan. Let's go to number three, cornerstone number three. And they're all good, but this one is the game changer as well. And that comes down to your thinking. you go to work on your thinking. And how do you go to work on your thinking, Jason? I mean, tell me, how do you go to work on your thinking every day? With a powerful learning agenda, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And you have that PLA. We call it powerful learning agenda. And see, it's not good or bad out there. Change your thinking, change your world. That's not a motivational statement. It's absolutely the way you've been programmed. So how do you change your thinking? What are some good books that you could read, Jason? You think the Bible?
Bible, obviously, the Big Day. And there's libraries of books out there. And what's amazing about having a good learning agenda is that you never really know which lesson you need right now. You just have to keep plugging in, keep reading healthy things and things that are, you know, I'll find that I'll read a nugget of something out of one book and maybe 300 pages. And there's one page in there that just really speaks to me that that helps just build my thinking in a healthier direction.
And, you know, this is funny. We talk like that. I think that's awesome that you never know what you need, but this is what I will tell you you need. You need a PLA. You need a powerful learning agenda. This is something that if you're just going throughout the day bumping along without a PLA, you're not going to change. You have to make a dedicated decision to align yourself with great books. You know, and I'm going to say this, and a lot of people are going to laugh and go, ho, 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 but it's the true story. We went to a very powerful seminar 2 weeks ago in San Antonio, and it was the NCAA National Basketball Championship between two great college teams. That was a PLA. I learned so much. Myself and Leo Langford went to that. We learned so much from that. So you can go to church. A praise and worship can be a PLA. Looking at good YouTubes, biographies. I love great biographies. And see, this is the point, Jason, and this is what I want you to get out of this PLA. There's one or two things happening. It's either or. You're either being trained or you're doing the training. Once again, you're either being trained, and the Bible says, Jason, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. You're either being trained or you're doing the training. And so who are you training? Yourself. You're going to work on yourself. And when that vehicle we're taking, we go to work on our alignments, a written plan, goals. Then you go to work on a PLA. What you're in effect doing is premeditating. You're choosing your success. You're making a decision. I want to do something with my life. And that's powerful. And one of the greatest days to have a PLA is on your week up, this Saturday. We don't call it the weekend, the week up. And so that's a great and awesome way to have a awesome week up is to have a good, strong PLA. Very, very powerful. Let's get to number four. And this is something that... I clear my throat here because you don't necessarily want to talk about this thing. It's almost kind of sometimes like a four-letter word, and it's your discipline. It's a choice you make. See, your disciplines will produce self-confidence that's going to unlock your future. And I'm not talking about Jason doing great big things. I'm talking about itty-bitty small things. Small disciplines you do every day. And I like to making myself do small positive things every day. So give me an example, Jason, of some small disciplines that you can have.
Well, the first thing I have to say is you hit an analogy there when you had to clear your throat on discipline is that when we raise our kids, discipline is a four-letter word. We talk about disciplining our children as if it's a punishment.
Yeah, which it's not.
Right. Discipline is what produces the greatness. A disciplined athlete is going to get better results by doing the small things. So it should be something that we really celebrate and look at as a positive to be disciplined, but we don't. We look at it as it's kind of a grind, as it's painful to do those little things. And we usually find that the little things are the things that trip us up the most.
Yeah, and James, it talks about, you know, you're not going to grow with it being soft. And that's just the facts. You're never going to grow when it's all easy. If you want the road easy and you pray for easiness, you're praying for all sorts of negative things to happen in your life. I want it easy. And that's what we are as human beings. We're being trained to say, well, discipline is a little bit overrated. It's not, just the opposite. When you look at the word disciple, the root of disciple is discipline. And we're not talking about, you know, saying, okay, you can't ever make a mistake. We're not talking about that. That's where the grace of God comes in. But we're talking about being disciplined in your alignments, your plan, your PLA. And you see how this is starting to unfold, folks? This is unfolding into something, a really great life. God never intended you. This your part on this earth was never intended to live in Averageville, average this, average that. You were intended to do great things, and great things is a result of your discipline. So we have number four, and we're going to get into number five real quick, and we're going to cover this, and that's one of the most, probably one of the most important areas of the five cornerstones. They're all important, is your attitude. So your attitude is your filter in how you see life. It is not good or bad out there. Like I said earlier, it's good or bad between your ears. And the right attitude, Jason, can help you do great things. The wrong attitude is the world is bad. I mean, look at this. I just got to say this. So everything is perfect, let's say, one day. And I'm driving my vehicle down the road, and everything is absolutely just like it's the greatest it ever was. And then all of a sudden, I get this piece of bad news. Now, I don't call it bad news. I call it opportunities, but I get this opportunity. And then I get another one and another one. And the next 30 to 40 to 50 minutes, I have an F5 tornado on the ground, the worst attitude you could ever have. Everything is bad. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Nothing's working. I tried that. I'm too old. It's not going to work. It's the weather. It's the Republicans or Democrats. It's this or that. It's just crazy.
It's picking up speed.
Yeah. It's like going downhill.
Yeah, the vortex.
Yeah.
You're picking up everything, carrying it around with you.
Yeah, speaking of picking up, we got to pick up our break here, and we're going to move to the next part of the big day. We're talking about the 11 cornerstones. I mean, this is getting good. So we've covered 1 through 5, and then we'll get into the fuel you put in 6 through 11 and just on the other side of this break.
Let me introduce you to the new book, The Big Day That Can Change Your Life. If there was a hall of fame for saying ridiculous things, do you think you'd be in it? We've all had words fly out of our mouth that we wish we could take back. It never leaves us feeling good, and it doesn't seem that dealing with the aftermath is a hobby for anyone. It's a fact of life that what comes out of us is just the fruit of what's inside of us. How would you like to see your life transformed from the inside out? The truth is, you're better than you think you are. Changing your perspective of yourself will not only change the words you speak, but your actions and emotions as well. As your personal life coach, the book, The Big Day, will take you on a journey of retraining your words and, most importantly, believing in the greatness of who you're meant to be. Don't wait another day. Buy your copy of The Big Day by Robert Whipple on Amazon today.
Major key alert. Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com. Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Day. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Please. Well, his eyes got about this big. Oops. Are we on live? Oops. Oh, my gosh, we're sitting here having so much fun. And Dan, behind the glass, is looking at me and smiling at me. And it's fun to be on live radio, isn't it?
It is. It is. He's like, wait a minute. Okay, let's start talking about the cornerstones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we covered 1 through 5. And then I'm going to turn the wheel a little bit here, if you don't mind. And I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Ward. And I'm going to let him introduce us through the rest of the cornerstones. So we have cornerstone 1 through 5, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is your vehicle. Now we're getting into number 6. So talk to us about number 6, Mr. Ward.
Well, before I get into number 6, after listening to several of the shows that you've done, one of the things that I pick up on a lot is that you talk a lot about this concept of the spiritual and the natural, or the supernatural and the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say it this way, that, I mean, God intends us to be great, right? He doesn't expect us to be mediocre. And so there's this supernatural side of us that is there, whether we can get to it or not. And then there's this natural part, which is how this all manifests in our life.
That's good.
What's missing is the conduit that brings those two together.
Explain.
Okay, so you can't unlock, and we're all given gifts and talents. I mean, every one of us have them, and you can't unlock that supernatural side if you don't understand what your gifts and talents are, or if you don't put those into action. And whether you call it cornerstones or pillars or principles or whatever they are, using a systematic way of kind of looking at your life and saying, how do I unlock my potential? That becomes the conduit, those gifts, those talents that unlock and give you those great results in your life. So, I've been in this system of looking at cornerstones and applying these things to my life for about 5 years now. And when I first got started in this process, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense. It was just, sounded like good words and good things to think about and good things to talk about. But
for somebody else.
For somebody else, yeah. But, not me. But as you start applying these things and you start saying, what's holding me back, what's keeping me from achieving my real potential, it's that I haven't unlocked the supernatural side of things. I'm living in the natural and not bringing that conduit together where I can get the greatness out of life. And so it's been really exciting to kind of watch these things unfold. And you mentioned a minute ago, you're either training or you're being trained. And I get some of my greatest training by being a trainer. And as I start teaching principles to my own team, as I start working with my own organization, I start to find a greater greatness in myself too by teaching those principles as well.
Yeah, so, like we say, preaching to the choir.
Yeah. I want to be the preacher and the choir.
Yeah.
So what's cornerstone number 6?
Cornerstone number 6 is what you call your systems. And, we have to look at things systematically or we fall out of organization and get into a little bit more chaos. And, systems can be a lot of things. It could be the way that we operate our household, the way we operate our business. But you got to have a system for things. You've got to have checklists and you've got to have operational standards. If you're talking about your business, you've got to have meticulous ways that you process the things that we do. And I feel like that's a really important one. It takes a lot of time to develop those systems. But what really takes a lot of time is trying to manage chaos.
I put down method or your order, the order that you're going to do something in.
Yeah. All the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a rule, Mr. Ward, that's called Pareto's rule. Look it up, folks. It's really good. Dan, it is like, this rule is just like so weird. But 80% of your results is produced by 20% effect. That means pretty much everything you get in your life is produced by very little of what you do. And so you start reversing that, and the system puts the odds in your favor from not having to reproduce everything, reinvent the wheel every day. That's why you have systems for checklist in the morning, systems for putting things in the right place. I love what you said as the conduit. I think the system of saying, okay, God's word is a system. You go, well, that's kind of like a weird way to place God into a system. God is a loving God. His system is love. His system is grace. His system is forgiveness. But he's not a cheap God. He's not saying, well, I'm just concerned if we're going to be able to work this through today. I mean, look at prices. Look at the price of a home today. That's not God's MO. God's MO is abundance. Above and beyond. That's the conduit right there. You get into the right system. And this is not something I'm using. It's something that I live. It's like, well, you're using religion or the Bible. No, it's something I live. It's not like I go home and go, I'm using food to put in my body so I can, no, Well, sometimes I use it, especially if it's good. Nothing better than a piece of cold pizza than, well, go ahead.
No, we were cooking barbecue chicken, and so we YouTubed a recipe. So then Robert has to add to it, you know.
Of course.
That's called more barbecue sauce.
Better system.
It's a better system.
Use it, don't abuse it.
Yes.
Oh, I abuse barbecue sauce. I confess, I'm guilty.
I put down on system, it's a manner as to create a regular union. So you want to try to create something that's, you know, like I'm trying to create a meal for our Easter, after Easter, you know. And so I had to have a system. So I had to write down a list and another list and checklist. And Robert,
why is that?
Yeah, because I have a pretty good sized family that was coming over.
And you want to keep, you want to be sure I was happy.
I definitely wanted to make sure there was barbecue sauce. So I had to have that system out.
So we covered number six. That's good. I like that analogy, Nancy, because, you know, you had all these lists out. You actually had a written checklist. I mean, what if it turned to a written checklist? I mean, are you crazy? You know, and it just made everything run so much smoother.
Well, there's only one oven, although we did have our little oven that we...
Tailgate oven.
Our tailgate oven.
That's a powerful oven.
And we used it.
That's anointed, too. So anyway, okay.
That was your idea. So we had that in our system.
Okay, so we have number six, Cornerstone. Introduce us, Mr. Ward, to Cornerstone number seven.
Well, seven is really the one that I've learned was probably one of the hardest for me to overcome. And that's your resolve. And, you know, we all have a little bit of what you would consider pansy-itis in certain areas of our lives, where there's just certain things that we're not willing to apply ourselves hard enough to achieve. You know, they're too difficult for us, we believe. And it might be in our relationships, it might be in our careers, it might be in our faith. But I realized that a whole lot of years I held back a whole lot of things that I wanted to achieve because I just didn't really have the resolve to get over my thinking of it. And that was a real struggle for me. And the more resolve that I put into things, the greater success that I find. And
so I think one of my favorite stories about resolve, anytime I want to feel sorry for myself and I mean, this is where resolve starts kicking in because we have a tendency to moan and complain, which I think is one of the biggest sins in America today, is we start whining, we start complaining, we start doubting, and we get into that doubt, like Nancy said, we get into that downhill. It's almost like you're running downhill, and it's hard to stop when you're running downhill. And so we start that system. We get into that moaning, complaining, and you go, wow, I mean, I have a lot to feel sorry for myself about. And then you look over to the car next door. I'm not even getting into what I want to talk about, but you look over to the car next door and you see someone that's 10 times worse off than you. Maybe they're physically handicapped and you're going, Lord, man, I have it easy. But the story I was going to talk about, one of my favorite stories to look at, Jason, is Paul in the New Testament, and what he had to go through. And you never heard him going, well, woe is me. He said, no, my strength is not in myself. I'm good alive, I'm good dead. I could go either way. It's not like he's intimidated by the stuff that's going on. And here's the ironic part. When you become calm-spirited and get a resolve about you, we're not talking about standing up and beating your chest, Jason. We're talking about a calmness, a quiet confidence that everything's going to be okay.
I put down determination.
Yeah, a determination.
Sure, determination. So I was thinking about my workout routine, and I decided to up it a little. Because, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to get me some extra weights. And when we go for our big walk, I'm going to start wearing them. You know, just a different aspect. And
you're not going to be a pansy anymore. You're not going to join pansy out of
Sarah Lynch. Well, I can't say that I'm totally a pansy because I do work out. But
yeah, but I mean, you have picked it up.
I wanted to up my resolve, get some more determination about it.
Well, that's a good point. But what you've done is you've just said, hey, I'm going to push myself, and I'm going to get more resolve, and I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to take it to the next level.
Yeah, why not try?
What a concept.
Yeah.
What a way to live. I'm going to take this week up, and I'm going to stop being a pansy, thinking about feeling sorry for myself, putting in 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm going to get up and do something about it, which leads us really into, thank you, Nancy, cornerstone number 8. Mr. Ward, talk to me about that.
Your accountability, and I think...
Whoa. You mean I have to be accountable?
Hit a sore spot.
Oh. You mean I have to be accountable to someone? That's a little aggressive, isn't it?
Answer to somebody.
You mean I'm going to have to answer to somebody?
Answer, yeah.
You mean I'm going to have to answer and be accountable to...
Even yourself.
To KLIF? I'm going to have to be accountable to what the Bible says? I'm going to have to be accountable to my boss? Oh, please, slow down. That's where it's won right there, Mr. Ward.
I think the most difficult one is being accountable to yourself.
Right.
Wow.
Because it's easy for me to set parameters for employees or for my boss to set parameters for me, and all I've got to do is meet those expectations. I'm really good at changing my own expectations of myself. So I know how to raise and lower my bar to meet my own expectations any given day. So what's important is setting those expectations where you want them to be and then holding yourself accountable to those.
So this is something that is like the bottom line. And I always like the bottom line of where you're going to start seeing the growth start multiplying. It's when you become accountable. It's not about you anymore. And when you get your eyes off of yourself, like I have a coach that helps me. His name is Alden Smith. He is a blessing coming in. In fact, he's been on the Big Day. And I'm accountable to him. And it's almost like I have to be, it's like I'm accountable to myself, like you said, Mr. Ward, but I'm also accountable to him. And I know Monday morning I'm going to have to get on that scale, and I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint myself. So I think that's really good. I like to have the accountability. I think the biggest part of accountability, like you said, is to yourself. So what is a tool, Mr. Whipple? I'm glad you asked. One of the best tools we've used in the Big Day is a quarterly assessment. It covers all 8 areas of your life. And that's a great tool to help you to become accountable. Well, we could spend a month on this. I want you to introduce us to the next cornerstone, number 9, Mr. Ward.
We you can count. You may come up with a different number, but we have 8 or so or 9 or 10 areas in our life. We go with 8 areas of our life here. And I think what we tend to do is we tend to try to segment our lives. And, you know, I spent decades in my old career field having a work life that I would try to retire at the end of the day to my family life. Reality is you only have one life, and everything that's in that life is all happening simultaneously. And we try to give them different levels of attention. So we sometimes let our work life really throw off our spiritual life or our personal life or our financial life or our hobbies and rest. And we let that career become so dominating that we don't give attention to the other parts of our lives that are important. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes there's things going on in our relationship, our family lives that throw us off kilter in our career lives. And I don't know that you're ever in balance in all parts of your
life. It's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic.
But it's something you work at, not so much balance, but and all this is, you mean, we're going in great, I mean, we're just really skipping this morning. We're going in great detail in the Big Day. And I mean, the Big Day goes into, I'm talking about tremendous detail about each one of these. And speaking of the Big Day, boy, do we have a special guest on the phone this morning. It's Heather, and she's actually the creative director, Jason, of the Big Day. And good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
And it is a
great Jason.
It's what? So how do you think Jason's doing? Pretty good, huh?
He's doing great, and so is Mrs. Whipple, and so are you.
Yeah. Cool Whip, she's the blessing, and Mr. Ward, he's added so much to our life. But I also want to say thank you for what you've done and the work behind the scenes for the Big Day. And I know this is something that you have as a passion to talk about the Big Day. So let's spend a minute and talk about the Big Day, if you might, Heather. Tell me about that. So go ahead.
Well, actually, I think the content of the Big Day is extremely foundational, and I think it's worth sharing with everyone. And actually, what you're talking about and the content that the cornerstones. I know you haven't gotten through all 11 yet, but even as far as we've gotten, I'm just like, this is really good. And, you know, and Jason, I'm kind of with you on the resolve, and this is what I call it, determination as well. I'm like, you need to have that kind of resolve in order to get to that potential of the big day of today, you know. And so I'm convinced of this, and so I actually want to make an offer to all our listeners out there that right now, for the first 10 people who sign up for our mailing list on our website, we're going to give away the Big Day ebook for free.
To the first 10 people.
To the first 10 people, yep. So go ahead, get on the website right now. It's readyforthebigday.com. Again, readyforthebigday.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll see Enter to Win and the Big Day. And just click on that, go through it, sign up for our mailing list, which is really great because you'll start getting updates of blog posts and just what we're talking about, more good information. We're going to go into more greater detail about the Big Day principles and concepts. But I just think that this content is worth sharing. So I just want to get the word out there.
Heather, thank you for joining us on the Big Day this morning. We really appreciate you. Thank you for calling in and sharing the good news. And that offer is really an extremely good offer, which says basically you're going to get this at no cost. There's no reason you can't do it. So
there's no reason not to. So go ahead, sign up.
I mean, it's there for the taking. It's like saying, okay, here's the promised land. And this is something you have to get up, go online, and it's one of the best offers that's ever been made. And
sounds like a great offer.
Yeah, it's extremely good. So again, thank you, Heather, and we're going to get into Cornerstone, Mr. Ward. We're going to get into Cornerstone number 10, and let's talk about that. Well, tell me about Cornerstone number 10.
Cornerstone number 10 is your work ethic. And I don't even like talking about this one because it is, it's kind of the real measure of how much you're really willing to put into what you want out of life. And just about anything that you ever miss out on, anything that you haven't achieved, really comes down to what your work ethic is.
So let's talk about that. That could be work ethic in one area or all areas?
In everything.
All 8 areas of your life.
Work, not me. This didn't say your career ethic.
So work implies action. Okay, so you have the action step, and then ethic refers to values. So you put those two multipliers together, action and values, that equals work ethic. And so what you're doing, I'm going to go back to what you said. I think it's a great intro, is you're really going to work on who? Not everybody else, but
yourself.
Yeah. So has that improved your life? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's changed your life? It's like big time. And so, and it also, it's kind of like distracting. You don't have to be so concerned with what everybody else is doing. Even though you have a team and you want that team to do well, you really are focusing in on not just everybody else, but yourself and that work ethic on all 8 areas of your life. And that could be anything.
Well, I put down a system of moral principles, you know. I liked what Alden Smith told us when he was here and when we drove in to KLIF. He was talking about playing basketball in college. And so he said, you know, during college, you know, they would have games, but they would still have to go back and study for their classes the next day. Mm-hmm. So they had to have I want to call it pristine work ethic.
Because, morals, too.
Yes, and morals.
You're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Right. So it would have been easy just to have been the basketball player and not think about that.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah. But you had to keep your grades up, too, or you weren't going to play basketball. So I always liked that example that he gave us. He had to have a great work ethic.
So, yes.
And I think that when we talk about, we're just taking work ethic from a career perspective, because I think that's where most people are going to see relevancy when you talk
right.
about work ethic. And it should be applied to all areas. But you have to be careful that you don't confuse work ethic with being a workaholic.
Explain.
I think that if you read up on a lot of great people, if you just get out and you Google people that are great because of great work ethic, you get the Will Smiths and the Jordans, and you get people that if you really read about their work ethic, what you hear most is how much time they spent on a certain thing. And it's not just time. Work ethic doesn't mean put in 18-hour days and that's a good work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You've got to be careful that what you're really talking about is wise use of your time, wise use of your energy, or else you exhaust yourself and you call that good work ethic, and that's not necessarily true.
I'm going to talk about that for a moment. This is a passion of mine. I like the Will Smith. I like that stuff, and we all like that. I mean, it's very motivational. But you know, one of the toughest things for me to work at is go to sleep. Yeah. So I have an LO. I train myself with discipline to have an LO, because with so much sleep, that gives me the ability to have a healthy lifestyle, which is not destructive to my body. And I'm not knocking. Listen, what I'm fixing to say is going to sound like I'm knocking someone when they brag about, you know, going for 3 to 4 hours of work. I mean, sleep at night. There's a season in your, and maybe a small season. You got to do that. You got to have the Navy SEALs day. But there's a point that we're talking about the long haul, and we're talking about having sleep at night. And that is a work ethic, to sleep or to have a relaxing time or your hobby. Yesterday, I sat down for literally 6 hours. Jason, in my chair and did nothing for 6 hours. And that was a lot of work, but that was a work ethic.
I know. I kept trying to get you to go out and plant flowers.
Not going to happen.
For some reason.
That's from the devil.
I just said, don't you want to come out in the yard and help me plant some flowers?
Yeah. This is not going to happen. I'm going to tell you that.
Your work ethic there, honey. I was just trying to get you to help me.
I can't believe this, but we're going to make it through all 11. So introduce us to cornerstone number 11.
To my very favorite, being thankful.
Yes.
And I have to explain that, because it's, my wife and I, we do operate a very successful business. We're very blessed by where we are in our life right now. And I can't say that I'm not thankful for that. But my wife and I have this conversation all the time, that I am so thankful for every day that we've had. And we haven't always had a healthy financial life, and we haven't always had the things that we measure by today. But I've never gone a day without a meal, and I've never gone a day without a place to sleep, and never gone a day without great people in my life. And I think that when you can recognize that you may count all the things you have not achieved and you do not have, but you take the list of what you do, it's always going to outmeasure the things that you're missing out on. So it makes it so easy to have gratitude and thanks for what you do have. And I think that's just so important, that if you can just take those two lists and put them together, it's hard for you to ever feel like you've missed out.
Yeah, if I had to say, if you had to do without all 11 cornerstones and just go
and
with
all
one,
you had was thankful,
I would say I'm going to practice being thankful. And thankfulness, that's good, Mr. Ward, what you just shared. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Thankfulness is the ultimate love language. It's the ultimate sacrifice. It's the ultimate not complaining. It's the ultimate not feeling sorry for yourself. It's the ultimate of saying, thank you, God, for the air I have. Thank you, God, for the running water.
Mm-hmm. Have a grateful heart. It's good for your heart, too.
I mean, it's like health to your, the Bible says it's like, the Bible is health to your bones. It's medicine. Mm-hmm. Thankfulness is like it's the secret weapon against living a defeated life.
I know my son was over, like we said, for Easter, and he was kind of complaining about the traffic. I said, well, do you have a car to drive in? I said, you're not hooking up your water buffalo to take your cart.
You could have bypassed the traffic by walking.
Yes, ride a bike. And right. So anyway, I went through a whole list of things that I had seen and showed him pictures, and he's like, okay, Mom, okay, I get it.
So we're fixing to close this out. Mr. Ward, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I want you just to spend about a minute and just kind of share whatever you'd like to share, like whatever you want to say, whatever you feel like that you would like to share with people. And guys, he's a very wise man, and I just want you to listen and want you to think what you would like to share with people that could encourage them or give them a hope and a future.
Well, I think, whether it's 11 cornerstones or 10 or 12 or the pillars or whatever it is, it's just so important that you wake up every day and you just kind of go to work on yourself. And
that's
you
good.
Give yourself a 70-point inspection and just kind of look at where you are and evaluate where it is you want to be and set out that plan and then kick the tires on it every single day. And just understand that it's never going to be perfect, and you won't always, and you should always have something out there in front of you. And if you just really take that approach and go to work on yourself, you don't have to worry about what everybody else is doing around you.
My final thoughts for today is I'm going to end where we started. Folks, I'm going to recommend that you go out and you get the big day. I'm going to recommend that you get that. Read your Bible. Pray. Get good books. Get things that will change your life. Go to work on yourself, like Mr. Ward said. And the bottom line is, you know, there's resources, and I have a day job, so this is not something I have to do. This is not something I'm trying to go out and just sell a book. This book was written for one purpose only, and that is to help to produce leaders, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's what we're after. That's what this is all about. We so much appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. Boy, join us next week. Heather's going to be in the studio. Got some great guests, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week up. Hello, this is Robert Whipple, the author of The Big Day, and I wanted to introduce to you Daniel DePinto.
Thanks. I'm a student at Texas Tech University. I'm studying musical theater and currently taking 18 hours of class, along with 25 hours of theater and an additional 15 hours of studying every week. With that said, you can imagine what my schedule looks like. But when it comes to managing my time, the book The Big Day has been a lifeline. Not only has it taught me how to manage my time effectively, but I've also learned how to thrive in every area of my life, not just in school. With relatable stories and sometimes painfully true statistics, The Big Day really teaches practical and applicable lessons no matter who you are or what your schedule's like. I highly recommend you get a copy of the book and try it out for yourself. You won't be the same. The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple, available on Amazon today.
The preceding program was furnished by the